The Lord be with you. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus dismissed the crowds and went into the house. His disciples approached him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He said in reply, "He who sows good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seed and the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one. The enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age. The harvesters are angels. Just as weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. Son of Man will send his angels. They will collect out of his kingdom all who cause others to sin and all evildoers. They'll throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be the wailing and grinding of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears ought to hear." The Gospel of the Lord. We are all called to be fertile ground in which the Word of God can fall, it can be planted and bring forth abundant fruit. What are ways in which we can allow the Word of God to take root in us, to grow, to blossom and flourish? Various ways. First is to never allow a day to go by in which you do not read and meditate upon the Word of God. Every time you read and you meditate and you pray over the Word of God, you're allowing Christ and His presence to take root in your minds and your hearts. So we want to be permeated and imbued by the Word of God. In my course that I started on the Psalms a few weeks ago, among the many suggestions, one was that you meditate upon the Psalm every day, but also to try to memorize at least one verse of a psalm every day. Now, if you tried to obey what I said, after a month, you've got about 28 biblical verses in your mind. Not bad. So by reading the Word of God, it's the seed of the Word of God sinks from your eyes, your mind, and your heart, and it becomes part of you. becomes part of you. Another thing you can do is every day try to maybe a minute or two read the life of a saint. Read the life of a saint. Yesterday, hopefully you were listening to my homily, I talked about Saint Joachim and Saint Anne. Get to know the saints. Because the saints were those who listened to the Word of God, they understood it, and they put it to practice. I know you people, but every time I read or listen to the life of a saint, it always gives me consolation. It always gives me consolation. And a motivation to try to imitate their virtue. Now, we can't imitate all their actions exactly. For example, if you wanted to try to imitate Saint Simon Stylites, after the Mass, you'd have to go in the middle of L.A., find a big pillar, stand on that for the next 25 years of your life. I don't think you can do that. Someone would haul up, you know, some bread for you three times a day. I don't think you can do that. Or like Saint Simon Stock, you find a big tree trunk and you build your house in the tree trunk. Saint Simon Stock. I don't think you can do that. But living a life of silence, a living life of detachment, that's what those saints are teaching us. We can't imitate their idiosyncrasies. They maybe throw us in one of those manicomiums, no? But their virtues we can and we should. And so those are two ways to read the Word of God, read the lives of the saints, then try to share it with someone else, what you learned. Because we grow in our faith by sharing our faith with others. And try to find whatever way you possibly can to share your faith with others. I feel privileged and honored because I'm getting more and more into the radio and TV. Today was on Esne Radio, yesterday was on TV, Friday was on Relevant Radio, so the platform is getting a little bit wider. Thanks be to God. Well, the Lord said to preach the word to the whole world. Well, got to try to do it that way, right? Morning, my article on Catholic Exchange came out. So, different ways in which you can preach the Word of God. And I'm not at peace until I keep growing that. Life is short. None of us are getting any younger. Look at the mirror. No, we're not getting any younger. Are we? So life is short. Let's see if we can allow the Word of God to take root in us. Then the Word of God has taken, let's share it with others. Let us overcome evil by doing good. Amen? Be good to put on your tombstone. That person overcame a lot of evil by doing a lot of good. Amen? And as Charles Dickens says, the worst of times can be the best of times if we're walking with Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Amen? Yeah. La primera lectura es un símbolo del tabernáculo. ¿Sí? Se lo repito. La primera lectura es un símbolo del tabernáculo que hizo Moisés. Moisés hizo una tienda fuera del campamento, ¿no? El lugar donde se podía encontrarse con Dios. Y Moisés fue allá y platicaba con Dios cara a cara, sin máscara. Cara a cara, como dos amigos platican. Y cuando la gente veía a Moisés ir, la gente se levantaba y se postraba representando Moisés, representando el sacerdocio y representando a Dios. ¿Quién estaba con Moisés? Josué. Josué iba a ser el sucesor. Moisés ya estaba preparándolo. Porque fue Josué que lo iba a llevar a la tierra prometida. ¿Qué respeto tuvieron por esta tienda fuera del campamento? Nosotros deberíamos tener todavía más respeto por el tabernáculo, porque esto fue nada más que un símbolo. Nosotros vemos la realidad. Tenemos la realidad aquí. Una buena genuflexión, silencio, platicando con Dios en la comunión ferviente, un saludo con genuflexión al salir de la iglesia, grande respeto. Grande respeto por la palabra de Dios y grande respeto por el tabernáculo donde vive Jesús. Ustedes saben que nosotros hemos gastado miles de dólares por esta casita. ¿Conoce el Cura de Ars? Cura de Ars, San Juan María Vianney. Él dormía por el piso, comía dos o tres papas por día, vivía una vida de grande pobreza, pero su iglesia era muy hermosa. Él fue a París y León para comprar la ropa, los ornamentos más bellos en Francia. Porque él decía, por el Señor debemos darle lo mejor. Darle lo mejor. Por eso queremos dar gracias que tenemos la presencia real. Le voy a explicar mediante una comparación. Hay una diferencia entre una foto de tu hija y tu hija misma. ¿Cuál es la diferencia? Foto representa, pero su hija está presente en su realidad. Moisés tenía nada más que foto. Nosotros tenemos la realidad. Dichosos nosotros que tenemos la realidad, por eso llamamos la presencia real. La presencia real. Pedir que podamos cultivar una actitud de grande, grande reverencia frente a Dios tres veces santo. Amén.